Okay, we are back. This is Tony Horde, Bill Whitford, and Katie Meyer. We're here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, and this is Your Talk Radio. This is Living in the North State, and we've kind of dubbed this month, our first month on the air, as Fire Safety Month. And we're going into the fire season, and a lot of people have a lot of questions about fire insurance and insurance in general. So we brought the pros in. We brought the pro in. So, Katie, it's great to have you here.
Thank you.
Didn't we just come out of fire season? I mean, fire season's running all year long now, isn't it?
Yeah. I know. It's much longer than it used to be, it feels like.
It does, yeah. Yeah, I used to be a firefighter way back in the day, I think those days were, the 90s, late 80s and the early 90s. I remember being in a line at a fire camp in Yola Bolas over there, and it was late October. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, Thanksgiving's just a few weeks away. This is the craziest fire season ever. But then not too many years ago, it was around Christmas time that they had the huge one down in L.A. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, the one in Paradise started in November.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was the same year as the car fire? Was that?
It was. Yeah. About 6 months later. I think it was in July that the car fire started.
Yeah. We all thought fire season was over. So we live with fire around here.
We do. Yep. It's all about mitigation as much as we can. You know, as residents and homeowners, it's all about mitigation and doing the best thing that we can do for prevention. Sometimes it just is going to happen. You know, that's where we live. We live in a green that turns brown area. It gets very hot here, you know, but if we're doing everything we can to prevent it, then that at least gives us a good footing. And it gives the firefighters a chance to do what they need to do to try and protect it.
So it's kind of a two-way street. It's not just the insurance company that's responsible of taking care of your home. It's really your responsibility to take care of your home and make sure it's everything that it can be so that the insurance company can be a good partner in protecting your investment.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, and that's why, you know, home inspections are done when you purchase an insurance policy. Home inspections are done. Sometimes there are inspections at renewal. Those are done. That is to make sure that what they are insuring, you know, what they are putting on the line in the event of a major catastrophe or a big thing happens, that you're doing your part, doing everything you can to protect your property, because it is your property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cal Fire, I've talked with a lot of the higher-ups, and they say if there's collections on the property, if there's, you know, piles of old tires and there's cars in the driveway and there's, you know, stuff stacked against the house and they pull up to it in the event of a really bad fire going on and they see that, but your neighbors have got everything cleaned up, they're going to pass your house by, you know, and so for insurance, that is a risk and gone are the days that insurance companies will accept that risk. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to take care of your home and it has to be in good repair in order for, you know, for us to pay out those huge amounts of money that can happen, you know, for, you know, you may pay for 20 years on your insurance policy, you know, and even if it's a couple thousand dollars a year, the amount is minuscule compared to the amount that they would pay out for it.
Yeah.
You know, so the pool of risk, you know, is what insurance is about. That's what it's for. But when it becomes neighborhoods and it could have stopped and it doesn't, then, you know, then we just have to make sure that the neighborhoods that we're insuring are well taken care of.
Sure.
So everything we can do.
Or whole towns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, and sometimes you do everything right and it still happens. We know that. That's why it's called a natural disaster. But, you know, you just have to do everything you can on your end as the homeowner to make sure that the home is, you know, as defensed and defensible as it can be. So
when there's a home inspection that's being requested of an insurance company, they call you up and say, we're going to send somebody out to do an inspection. Mm-hmm. How should the homeowner handle that and feel about that?
Don't take it personal. Everybody gets one. I got one too on my house. I wasn't special, or I wasn't, I didn't get a pass. It's just making sure that the home is in good repair. The walls aren't falling down, that there aren't missing windows where someone could crawl in and steal things, and then you file a claim. That all the things that you understand, like, hey, this house is in good repair. When you buy a home, you would assume that those things have already occurred. Mm-hmm. But when you're maybe moving insurance companies, like, hey, I want to go from one company to another, then that inspection has to be done, because we just don't know anything about your house yet. So we take a peek at it. If everything looks good, then again, I'm not the inspector. So I take a peek at it. And if everything looks good, then that inspector will come out and do that final and kind of give that thumbs up and the A-okay. Or the nice part about it is we're a local company. We get the notice the same time you do. So if it says, hey, there was an issue, we found these things, we can work with you. You can get those things fixed. I can come out. I can take pictures of it. I can bring it to the underwriter, and I can advocate for you and say, look, these things have changed. Let's go ahead and make this policy all good to go. So it's important to have that, that relationship again, going back to it with your agent to be able to, when you're going, I don't know what's going on, then we're here to say, it's okay, let's fix it.
Mm-hmm. Another great reason to shop locally and have somebody in your court.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I was going to ask earlier that you do work hand-in-hand with the underwriter.
Yep, we do.
Is he a local guy? Or?
All the underwriters are different. So, it just depends on what you're working with and who you're working with. Sometimes it's a very dedicated underwriter. So it depends on the company too. Sometimes it could be, whichever underwriter picks up the file that day.
Yeah, gotcha.
But someone's name is stamped on that in our systems. We gotta love computers, and we know who to reach out to when we have a question about something or we need to advocate for our customer. So same thing with the claims rep. We know who the claims adjuster is and we know how to get a hold of them. And if you haven't, then, if they haven't called you, then we're calling them and we're advocating for you. That's what a local agent does.
Oh, great. You sound like a good local agent, Katie.
There's a lot of good ones out there, but thank you.
Well, I guess one of the questions I was going to ask is some of the things, and I think we've kind of already covered a little bit, but one of the ones I was on my list here is some of the things that would be most important that you might do around your home, like cutting trees back, even implementing maybe sprinkler systems, different things. I mean, are there key things that would noticeably drop your policy, not your policy, but your premium? I mean, is that fair to assume, or?
There are some that I wouldn't say necessarily noticeably drop your premium, but everything helps.
Your policy at least, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely. Alarms, sprinklers, of course, California law, any new home after 2021 has to have sprinkler systems, in it, for new builds.
Mm-hmm.
If yours has sprinklers in it, then there are going to be some positive perks to that. If there is fire hydrants, on your street or within, 1,000 feet of the residence, that is going to make – that is a big significant. Sometimes there's nothing you can do about it if you're in the outlying. They're not out there.
Mm-hmm.
But just making sure that the biggest thing is mitigation after that, is just making sure that things are trimmed back and clear and as safe as they can be for you.
Does an exterior sprinkler system help?
If there's a water source and you have that, and we can, present that to the underwriter, it could potentially, every guidelines for underwriting is a little bit different depending on the, policy and depending on, where you're writing it at. But there is a potential for it, and we will certainly bring it to the table and try to make it help for the customer, if it's there and it's a possibility.
That's something that would seem like it would be a little bit less expensive to put in if you didn't have an interior sprinkler system.
Mm-hmm.
You could probably run something up on your roof that wouldn't be helpful, and it certainly might stop, save you from having to get up on your roof with a garden hose, right?
Right.
Well, she mentions a water source too, though. If the power goes out and maybe that's how you're getting it up there, then you're going to pretty much have a fail-safe system in order for that to be a thing.
Yeah. Very so, true. Yep, absolutely. You know, I mean, anything that is preventative or trying to protect your house is always something that certainly couldn't hurt, and sure. And it's always something that we like to bring to the attention of anyone if we're writing new policies. But again, it's a lot of factors that go into sure. an insurance policy and how it's rated. And you know, if we can throw in a positive, we will. So,
well, education is key, and I think we're all learning a whole lot more about how to have our homes taken care of, you know, in the event of a fire. So
absolutely.
I think we're coming up on one more break, and when we come back after the break, I think we'll wrap it up and get on about our day, and we'll be right back.
Owning your own home brings so many qualities to life. It really has been in our culture from the start. A home is the place you raise your family. Maybe it's your dream home out on some distant property with lots of trees and a creek running through the backyard. Now, of course, buying a home is one of the largest investments we can make, which is why it is so important to have an experienced mortgage lender working for you. Since 1994, U.S. Lending and Reading has very much enjoyed helping families when buying or refinancing their homes.
In the past few years, there's been a lot of focus on interest rates and values. Interest rates will forever be changing. That's a constant for sure. But owning a home isn't about interest rates. It's about finding a home to live and enjoy your life in. If you're thinking about buying or refinancing a home and have questions, think of us, U.S. Lending Company.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the CRMLA, Equal Housing Opportunity Lender, NMLS 1850.
Crossroads Auto Body Repair, still the best price in town. Working hard on your dents, dings, and complete paint jobs if your car is peeling or faded. Call for your free written estimate today. They've worked on thousands of vehicles over the years here in Reading, and they accept all insurance companies. Call 530-226-0992.
We'll do it right, and we'll do it fast. Let us get you back on the road again.
Crossroads. We're here to get you back out on the road.
Okay, here we are. We're back on the air. This is Tony with North State Living, or actually living in the North State. We're all living in the North State and loving it. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. And we're just wrapping up things here with this awesome little program we've got today. We've got Katie Meyer here in the studio, and she's with Farmers Insurance. And we've been talking with her and kind of getting a real good insight on fire insurance and all of that. And I think one of the things that we're really learning here is that it's really important to have a local person who knows you and cares about, you know, you and her community and all of that. So I think I'm learning a few things, and just as well as everybody else. So,
yeah, absolutely. We are very fortunate that there are really good insurance agents in this area. You know, and it's important to have that relationship. When you call an 800 number, you know, it works. It may be an affordable policy for you, but every time you call, you got to explain who you are and maybe get transferred five or six times. But with the local agents here, they answer the phone. They know who you are. They remember, you know, what you called about last week, you know, and they can help you on a different level, you know, than some of the online or 800 number companies. And that's important when it comes down to the important stuff, which is this one of your biggest assets. Your home, mm-hmm. you know, is one of your biggest assets. So. I think sure is taken care of.
I've called your office three times, and each time I've talked with Kelsey, and she's remembered my name.
Yeah.
Every time I've called. So
yeah.
It feels good.
Yeah, it's good. So, you know, we do pride ourselves, and I know other agents in town, they're they're the same. We pride ourselves in making sure that we take care of the customer. That's the bottom line. So, you know, at the end of the day, I want to sleep good at night. I want to make sure my customers are taken care of, and I know that other agents in this area are very much of the same mindset.
And like you said before, you're going to see them in the grocery store and
yep.
down at the Colt 45s game. And
that's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I think we're just about done here, Katie. I think we're going to wrap things up right now. 530-241-2100 is
that's
your
right.
number, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the biggest thing. If you have a good agent that you're working with, if you have a question, call them. That's what they're there for. You know, they care about you. They want to know what's going on. You know, if you are like, hey, I just did this to my house. You know, I put in a new kitchen. Is that important? Yes, it is. You know, let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a question, give them a call. You know, and we're human. Every once in a while, we may say, you know what, I don't know, but let me find out for you, and I'll call you back. But the important thing is, you know, have that relationship with your agent, be comfortable with calling them and having a conversation and making sure that everything is taken care of and, you know, and that you build that relationship.
Sure. And enjoy peace of mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Well, thank you so much for being here, Katie.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. I did enjoy it.
Sounds good. Well, we're going to come back in a week, and we're going to have Cal Fire on, and so we'll be able to ask them quite a few questions, and you guys can call in and ask Cal Fire questions. And then the following week, I think it's the 28th, we're going to have Grind Fire Defensible Space of California.
Yeah, they are so awesome.
Yeah, yeah, you guys do workshops together,
we
right?
do, yeah, yeah. Okay. We work with Cal Fire and Grind Fire Defense. And,
okay.
You know, so if you need that fire mitigation, those are the people to call, and they can get the clearance for you and, you know, say, hey, I'm not going to go up there and cut that tree. They'll do it for you. So.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, good deal. We look forward to having all them on there, and I'm sure we'll be having you back again sometime too, Katie.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, this is Tony for Living in the North State. We will see you guys next week.
The shotgun, not safe to start again. This was a nice day for a white wedding. It's a nice day to start again.
Owning your own home brings so many qualities to life. It really has been in our culture from the start. A home is the place you raise your family. Maybe it's your dream home out on some distant property with lots of trees and a creek running through the backyard. Now, of course, buying a home is one of the largest investments we can make, which is why it is so important to have an experienced mortgage lender working for you. Since 1994, U.S. Lending and Reading has very much enjoyed helping families when buying or refinancing their homes.
In the past few years, there's been a lot of focus on interest rates and values. Interest rates will forever be changing. That's a constant for sure. But owning a home isn't about interest rates. It's about finding a home to live and enjoy your life in. If you're thinking about buying or refinancing a home and have questions, think of us, U.S. Lending Company.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the CRMLA, Equal Housing Opportunity Lender, NMLS 1850.
One 100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at Simpson.
Good evening, Northern California. I think we all just took the old ones anyway, we took a trip in the DeLorean.
Back to ABBA. You remember they offered them $1 billion to go back on tour one more time.
One more.
And they said no.
And they said no.
They said no.
Yeah, Robert Plant was offered, I believe, $650 million to do the Led Zeppelin tour thing, and I think he turned it down once and then thought about it, something like that.
Well, I think actually have come back now and they're doing a tour, but they're doing it through avatars. So they've actually been in the studio recording in those body suits with like the little balls all over them where they're filming them, right? And I guess they're going to do something, but they're
digitally reanimate them.
But they're not going to be there. Yeah, it's going to be like a hologram.
I don't know. I feel about that. They still got the $1 billion, but they just need to go.
$1 billion.
But I mean, I feel cheated. If I paid like good money for that, I would feel cheated.
You know, though, I saw them.
Like the holograms?
No, them shooting the hologram, and it's not the same.
It's not.
See, that's what I looked at the girls, and I was like.
So, good evening, Northern California. This is Nigel, James, and a whole bunch of other people in the studio here. Yes. It's November 9th, 2022.
It is. And the day after.
We're not going there, James.
Yeah. The day after. It's going to be fun.
You can't ignore it 100%. That was my little nod to the world. Now we can go on.
Yeah. Well, now the fun starts. It's still somewhat winter.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I was expecting a heat wave by now.
But it's hanging on.
It's hanging on. We're in the 50s. That's good.
Brandon would know about that. You got trapped up north, didn't you?
Yeah, I was at a conference up in McLeod and then got snowed in.
Like 4 or 5 inches?
It was really amazing time, actually.
My wife and I
walked into the McLeod Hotel, like, looking for a safe haven and was shocked to find a really beautiful, like, Victorian-esque, old-school hotel with the fire roaring. And
Was it a Hallmark
So for those who are listening and don't recognize the voices, Nigel, James.
Hello.
And we have Jason and Garrett and Brandon from the Reading Buzz team.
And we have a Buzz member over here. Unfortunately, we're one mic short.
We're two mics short.
And it's a birthday today, too.
It is his birthday. I told him I was going to sing him happy birthday on the radio, but he got upset.
He doesn't want no publicity.
ABBA will sing him happy birthday.
I'm going to do my best Marilyn.
Oh, my God. That's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Can you do that at 7:05?
Oh, 7:05.
Okay. So we have our good friends with... from Reading Buzz with us. And you guys have been busy.
Yeah.
Busy like a
buzz.
You were buzzing around.
Okay.
One of the hot tickets for the last couple, one of the hottest conversations for the last, 4 or 5 years has been the new Costco.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe you got a sneak peek in there today.
A little sneak peek.
Oh, you did today?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did a walkabout, you know. Yeah.
So was that a good workout?
Oh, it was a good one, wasn't it, Garrett?
Oh, it was awesome.
It's big enough like the Outback, so it probably was a walkabout.
It was a walkabout because it's like extra 30,000 feet.
It's an extra 30,000 square feet.
Yeah, square feet, yeah.
But it was so big, we were having bad Wi-Fi reception.
Yeah.
So if you see the live, you're going to see a spot where we're like, we got to get back to the front where all the machinery is, where the Wi-Fi
the gas station looks huge.
30 pumps. 30. And they'll have diesel.
Pumps.
That was
and
a big
diesel.
Thing they were fighting for, to get diesel pumps. So there'll be 30 pumps.
Well, I mean, they'll have pumps, but they won't have any diesel fuel to put
in. Probably not. The illusion of diesel will be there.
Someday.
We'll get diesel.
Maybe it'll be Avatar. Yeah.
What else did they say? Avatar diesel.
Oh. Avatar.
So an extra 30,000 feet. So you normally spoken, you know, when you, when you scale up, you mean... Like
I was trying to process 30,000 square feet because that's just about 2,000 square feet smaller than my home. So I was trying to kind of figure out how. Like, what does that feel like?
We're all moving in.
Yeah. But it's a huge difference. Like it makes you feel like it's three times the size of the current Costco that we have. Walk-in dairy cooler. Another thing they really wanted to do was being able to have supply, not having to worry, you know, to rely on some of the warehouses because we saw. You know, during COVID and stuff, and even now we're still finding some supply chain issue. And they're like, we want to be able to have at least a couple of days just so we're not sitting there going, oh, the trucks, we're waiting on the truck to come up from Sacramento or come down from Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was it's a really neat warehouse. It's the first pre-COVID warehouse built, I believe. Post-COVID? I know in Northern California, but I believe it might be even California.
California.
Wow. You mean post-COVID?
Yeah,
post-COVID. Not pre-COVID. No. Not doing that again.
And so,
don't do that again.
So in their mind, they were building with that in mind somewhat?
Yes. Huh. That was part of the design process. They were like,
so what you're saying is when the supply chain stuff comes to an end, we can go to Costco
for 2 days.
Well, you should. So.
2 days longer than most other places.
I know.
That's it. I'll take it.
While supply
gives you better chances.
Yeah. But, no, it's really
Yeah,
neat.
it's going to be big. I mean, it's so big that when you walk in there, you feel like you're in a football stadium.
So let me ask, when you went in, are there only racks up with products?
Oh, yeah.
I would say they're probably 65% stocked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only thing they really don't have are perishables right now.
Mm.
But what was neat is when I was we were talking to the general manager, like, oh, so you guys should close the old building and then just, like, transfer everything over. It's like, no, everything that's going into this will be brand new. That will go back and get sorted, and we'll either go to our discount distributor or we'll go to charitable like donations that they do. But no, everything in this Costco is brand spanking new. Hmm. And a lot of items we have never seen yet.
The number one question I have is, what does the food court look like?
The food court is amazing. That's the first place I checked out. I walked up there and I went, yeah, this is my game right here.
But they have, they'll have 18 tables.
18.
To sit. So it's a lot better. It's going to be a lot bigger. And
see, I can't go into Costco because of those pallets of croissants.
The bakery.
That's right. Yeah,
That's my weakness.
You have a weakness towards.
That's also a new thing. Some departments were actually having to share areas, like the bakery and like where they do the roast chicken. They were sharing ovens, and so it was so hard because you would have to clean them because of regulation. You know, mm-hmm. Order the bread. Now
you don't want your croissant and your chicken.
But now, you know, they have their own departments, and they're like, well, we only have 4 ovens, now we have 10 ovens.
Excuse me, sir, where can I find the croissants? That would be in the croissant department.
Okay, so Running Buzz got, like, an exclusive sneak peek?
Yeah, even before the news, I mean, the media, right? I mean, that was, like, it was awesome. We walked in there, and it's like, so, I mean, tomorrow, I believe, several other media will be there tomorrow, but we got it first on Buzz.
How's your live stream performing?
That did all right. I mean, there it was choppy off and on, back and forth.
You got some good views on Facebook.
Yeah, like how many, Gert, did you
say? So we had 290 people watching live, but the post right now has reached about, I think, like 8,000, 9,000, and we're getting like 80 comments. You know, it's like 42 shares or something like that. Like
it's gone.
We've seen a big uptick.
What we call in marketing country is it has legs.
It's got legs.
It has legs,
running.
Baby.
It's got legs. And it's
so
running.
We need to reinvent the term for you because it's running buzz. So it's got wings, right?
It's buzzing.
It's doing good.
We call that a
running buzz. It has wings.
So we're doing something else with Running Buzz next Tuesday.
Yeah.
First time. This is the first time.
First time.
Yeah, next Tuesday.
So you're listening.
This is it, Bren, right?
Yeah, we're going to be doing
and the good news is, again, it's food related.
Yes, of course.
This is a food show.
If you like ice cream.
Say it loud and proud, Brendan. Yeah. Loud and proud.
We're going to be doing the ice cream social next Tuesday at
6 o'clock.
And enjoy the store.
At where, James?
I'm like, whatever.
And you know what? There's a story behind. We're going to go live with this, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a story behind finding the right scoop.
Right?
Yeah. There's a story behind that.
I'm still searching.
So I thought you had a scoop.
I got 5 of them, but I don't like any of them.
He's picky.
So we're going to have the first Reading Buzz Ice Cream Social.
That's right.
So because you've made a lot of friends, a lot of connections online, and this will be an opportunity for the Reading
community.
Buzzers.
Yeah. The Buzzers. Oh.
The Buzzers.
Ooh.
Reading Buzzers.
Oh, I like it.
Coin it.
Buzzers. To come and talk to you guys. Meet you guys in person, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Come down to enjoy the store. And everybody meet the team. Everybody's going to be there.
1261 Market.
Jason will be doing photos and autographs.
And Garrett will be wearing his cowboy hat from Texas.
And one of you will have a scoop in your hand and be helping to scoop ice cream.
That'll be Brandon. No, I'm not going to do that to Brandon.
Throw Brandon in there.
I practiced scoop today in an edible bowl with an edible spoon for Nigel.
Okay.
What did I say? I almost broke my forearm trying to get the ice cream to go. So I'm going to have to. I'm working with the freezer right now trying to dial it in so that it's firm but scoopable.
Yeah. Firm.
Listen. We're having too much fun here. This is great. We're at the end of the first break.
Okay. Oh.
And when we come back, we have a very special guest.
Yeah.
Stephanie, we'll see you in a minute.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes.
Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Good evening, Northern California. We're getting our groove on here. Nigel and James and Reading Buzz.
Yeah.
How's it going?
It's my jam.
Right? Wednesday, November 9th. There's a party going on in here.
That music and makes it all worthwhile.
Right?
Yep. Right.
And just for those listening at 6:30 or so, we have Jessica Silva, my friend Jessica, calling in from Humboldt. We're going to be doing the Taste of Humboldt next year, so this would be a good prelude to that. But right now, we have a very special guest in the studio. First time and ever on the radio.
She's brave to be here with us.
She's brave. brave. You know? Stephanie.
Yes. Stephanie Croce from...
Croce.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Everyone pronounces it different. From Shasta Cruising, Shasta Halloween, and Shasta Christmas.
Ta-da!
Ta-da.
Right. So I'm going to say Shasta Halloween just came and went, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
Now we're getting into Shasta Christmas.
Christmas. Yeah.
So you run a number of Facebook pages. Is it just Facebook or Facebook, Instagram?
Just Facebook.
Facebook. Mm-hmm.
Groups. Yeah, so it's more interactive. Like, I know Reading Buzz is a page. We're more groups, so we have, like, more content where the people can upload and comment.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, so it's a little bit different.
So it's a bunch more participation.
Yeah.
Project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because our whole goal is to get people aware of things going on in the community.
Yeah.
So we try to promote everything and anything we can to help promote all of the events going on locally in the community.
And you started this during COVID?
Yeah. So we started, when COVID hit, we started Shasta Cruising because of Cool April Nights not being able to do what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And we just kind of wanted to keep the car community together, plan events. You know, we did cruises through neighborhoods when it was like, we didn't really know what COVID was. So so it was safer.
Yeah.
And it was a blast. And then once everything started opening up, we would go to businesses and organizations and go, we're going to go to this restaurant today and we're going to go support them because they haven't had business in a while.
I have a hard time with the word cruise because what comes to my mind is back in the day when we were young here. We used to cruise.
Maine.
Market
right
Street and go around the mall,
yes.
You know, and it was fun.
Yeah.
And
you have to be very careful in the usage of that because you cannot promote that kind of.
What a shame. You should be able to drive around in cars as much as you want.
See, when I think of Shasta Cruising, I think of a cruise liner. So there's a disconnect. I think
cruise? Yeah, I guess that too. But I know because I'm not nowhere near the ocean, I don't think of boats. I think of...
So your group took off, right?
Yes.
And then exploded.
Yeah.
Define exploded. So how many people you got?
Over 5,000 in the 3 years we've been doing it. Yeah. Each group has about 5,000, 6,000 members, and it just keeps growing. Every time we have an event and we promote, we just grow and grow and grow and grow.
Great. So now you have Shasta Halloween.
Yes, and that's the most successful group because I think everyone well, I assume everyone loves Halloween.
Yeah.
But that's our the most events we get giving back to the community. I freaking love Halloween too. So that's my baby.
Uh-huh.
We did the Shasta.
Free chocolate.
All the time.
Just candy, but how you could be somebody else for one night, yes. Which is awesome.
So I think we had 64 events happening in the month of October for Shasta Halloween. It was a lot. And then we host Shasta Boo Cruise, which is, we had 35 houses that you go around the two Saturdays.
Boo Cruise?
Yeah. Cool. Everything's cruise related.
Yeah.
Yeah. You go around in the 35 of the best houses.
So it's like Christmas lights.
Yes.
You're doing. And let me tell you, in my neighborhood alone, there are people that go off on Halloween. Mm-hmm. I mean,
on the map.
You can't even see their house. Literally.
The whole thing.
You drive by and you're like, my God, where do they store all that stuff?
Storage.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have Christmas lights and sights happening. Same thing, but Christmas, mm-hmm. Christmas related. We call it Christmas lights and sights
because
we also like to incorporate organizations and businesses that like do hot cocoa and cookies. So you go mm-hmm. to, I can't say their names yet because they haven't confirmed, but you go to a really well-established restaurant and they'll give the kids hot cocoa and cookies, and you go on your tour. Or their mm-hmm. one night will be brownies or mini cupcakes or.
Are they going to do multiple nights every night for a certain period of time that you're guessing at this point?
Yeah, so Christmas is a lot easier. Halloween, we have to, there's a big production because there's fog machines, there's a lot of stuff we don't do every night. So there was two nights we did Boo Cruise. Christmas, you turn on the lights and they're on, and there's nothing to it. So, like, different businesses and restaurants are signing up. We usually just do it Friday and Saturday because that's the busy mm-hmm. nights.
Well, I would love to sign up.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I think our business will start,
Yeah.
Okay, and then they just stop by, and you pick what you want to do.
Yeah.
And then...
This year we're going to have snow.
Oh, I freaking hope so.
Yeah. We actually have our machine. It actually came.
Oh, okay.
So that's cool. So you're obviously very, very
active.
Are you
snow, snow?
So you're very active in the community.
Yes.
And that's how you came across Mr. Buzz himself. Because mm-hmm. I think, I don't know if anybody is as active.
I don't think so.
As Jason and his crew.
The whole team is going crazy. Yeah,
thank you, coffee.
Yeah.
So how did you guys know each other?
Oh, that's interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Take it away, Steph. Back to you.
So he just picked up on it. I think that he knows, he sees how I am community driven. I'm not doing it for me. I'm not doing it for a business. I'm not doing it to promote anything.
But it's okay. You love those holidays. So.
Oh, passionately.
Down deep
yeah.
it is
yeah.
for you in
oh,
a way.
Yes.
But
it
I
warms my soul. Yes. But it's not, it's for nothing else but to.
I know
to
exactly
that,
what you're saying, but I mean, you've got to have a little bit of that in there.
Well, I wouldn't do it if it.
Passion.
I wouldn't do it if it didn't.
Float your boat.
Yeah, float my boat. Yeah.
Cruise your car.
Yeah. And then I meet amazing people. I mean, just the car club community itself, there's amazing people in this community that just mm-hmm. love to show off their cars. So.
Well, we've always, Joy has always been a big supporter of Cool April Nights. Mm-hmm. We have done, I think we've done a total of six drive-ins with our Joy Movies in the Park. Mm-hmm. And so that's always been one of my favorite things is being able to set up on the convention center lawn and broadcast with our FM transmitter into their front seats and have people, hanging out in their cars watching, American Graffiti or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
So how many Facebook groups do you run now?
Three. Yes.
And you're sticking at three or just going to add three more?
Well, I also have a full-time job. and my partner, we started this, Sarah. Hi, Sarah. We actually met in a group feed for some, rebellious crews because Cool April Nights stopped and they did, remember mm-hmm. that first year they did that huge cruise around town.
Yeah.
We just met in a chat and we started
chatting.
Well,
it was hit by transition of ownership and then also COVID.
It had some beat up. For sure, no, we could do this. And the community got together and just said, F-fit, can I say F-fit?
Yeah,
there's a 7-second delay there.
Okay.
But we try not to use. Only James uses the 7-second delay.
But we literally met in a chat and we're like, no, let's put something legitimate together and get it on the right track. Like running mm-hmm. the streets, crazy people is not going to work. Let's organize it and make it a something.
Yeah.
So, just like Jason, have you learned anything about our community by starting these groups and how fast they've exploded?
This community is wonderful. Everyone, if anyone needs something, someone will always be there. Mm-hmm. That's the most beautiful part. Like, I don't think I would still be doing this 3 years later if I didn't get back what I was giving. Mm-hmm. So that's the most.
So 3 years later, are your group still growing?
Oh, hugely. Yeah. Every event, so Halloween pass, I get a boost.
So people can find you on Facebook?
Yes.
The Facebook groups, are they open groups? Or
Yeah, it's all open.
Nope. Shasta Christmas, Shasta Halloween.
Shasta Cruise. Right?
Shasta Cruise.
Yep.
That's
it. Yeah.
Very good.
My brain's exploding.
So how did you guys...
things that I've come
up with.
Can you remember the first event?
Was it at the airport or was it at Cicada that we met and we started talking about promoting
I think it was the airport. Back when Benton was doing their thing. I think we just ran into each other and I was like, hey, you...
And I was like, what, to promote anything that's community-driven?
Yeah.
And you're in it.
And we kept bumping into each other. Yeah. And I'm like...
So one of the things I like about this community, when you get the right people together, where there's no competition. So I love the fact that, you know, Reading Buzz is community-driven, promotes the community, but yet promotes you because you're, you know, community-driven, and you promote each other, which is the way it should be.
That's absolutely.
So are you originally from here?
No, my husband is. So I moved up here. I work for PG&E. I'm a proud member of IBEW 1245. So I do work full time, but I transferred back up here to work for the hydro powerhouses up here.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Very good. So what else we got?
Join your pages.
Yes, please join my
pages. Join your pages.
Join the pages.
If there is a business in town.
Yes.
And they want to participate in Shasta Christmas.
Yep.
Right? They contact you.
Yep. And I'm all over the group, so it's hard not to find me on any of the groups. Yeah.
And so, what do they need to do to participate?
Really, just come up with your own concept. Some people did cheese and cracker cups. I mean, there's so many different things you can do for the cruise. I mean, as long as it's family friendly and it won't spill in a car.
Imagine you get a bunch of them, and people are just driving from one place to the other.
Well, I'm only going
to
get
to eat dinner through the night.
I'm only going to promote one business a night.
Oh, okay.
I wish I could say the names, but they're not in song.
No, I totally get it now. Because every night for a period of time, it's like, boy, when you're done, the smorgasbord, you're like, cool.
Oh, yeah. One night will be cocoa and cookies at a specific location. Everyone goes there, goes on the cruise.
Keep bringing it up because soon you're going to slip.
Yeah. I'm trying not to.
So if you're a business, and if this is done correctly, then on their given night, all of a sudden 1,000 people may show up.
Yes, and then a lot of the restaurants give in dine discounts, so you sit there and eat, but then they have the to-go, cook snacks, whatever it may be. Mm. So yeah, it's like a 15-20% discount to eat, and then you get a little snacky poo to go.
Excellent,
love it.
Well, thank you,
snacky poo.
I'm snacky poos.
Thank you for coming in.
I had no,
I'm banned. I'm kind of banned from Facebook, so I don't even know it exists. Oh. Kind of thing.
Those of us that are still seen and graced in the community and the world have our account.
So Shasta Halloween, Shasta
Christmas.
Cruise, but now it's Shasta Christmas.
Yep.
Shasta Christmas, Facebook group, go say hi, talk to Stephanie, grow your business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be back.
Yeah.
Thanks, Stephanie.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Just turn this into a groove show. Good evening, Northern California.
It's hard
to interrupt this song.
Master in the control booth.
Yeah. You could be a DJ, dude. Get people going. Yeah. Anyway, good evening, Northern California. Nigel and James and the Reading Buzz crew. And speaking of food, I believe, Jessica, are you on the line?
Oh, did they call in?
I'm here.
Oh, hello.
Good evening, Jessica. So, one of the projects that that James and I are doing, that I'm doing, is California Venture District, where we're trying to elevate our various counties and especially the relationship between Shasta and Humboldt, which is organically very active. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been going over to Humboldt County for about 3 years ago, 3 years now. And I would say about, 6-7 months ago, we came up with the idea of a Taste of Humboldt,
mm-hmm.
and we had our first little meeting, and that's where I met Jessica. Now, talking about Facebook groups, Jessica runs the Humboldt Foodie Group.
Yeah.
And Jessica, you have how many members now?
We're at over 18,000 now.
Wow. 18,000 people in the Humboldt Foodie Group. Now, first I didn't know why, but now that I've been over there a number of times, and Jessica and my good friend Ken Hammack, they've been touring. We've been cruising.
There you go.
The Humboldt Cruise. We've been cruising various restaurants. And now I can see why it's such an active foodie community. Because
Humboldt's a very active county in general.
Yes.
I mean, in so many different areas of production and food. Yeah. And
so, Jessica, you're one of the food connoisseur experts over there. Why don't you give give our listeners a little insight into why Humboldt?
Oh, man, what a great question. For me, Humboldt is just beautiful. Humboldt has really turned into home for me. I'm a transplant. I've only been here for going on 9 years. But it's so lovely here, and we have, I think, honestly, COVID has taught us that if you're going to go through the apocalypse, then Humboldt is the place to be. We have all of our food that is grown locally. We've got a lot of great drink makers here. There's cannabis here. We really have everything that we needed without, you know, really falling victim to the supply chain issues that we dealt with the past couple of years. So, but even before that, like, I just knew that this place was amazing, and the food here is just so fresh. It's so different than what I'm used to in Southern California with all the chains. Everything here is mom and pop and just super elevated and fresh and delicious.
That's a great description. That's exactly.
Well, it is true. If you have to go through the apocalypse, mm-hmm. Humboldt would actually be a very good place to do it. I got to admit.
Totally.
Yeah.
Right? Because the other cool thing about Humboldt, I got to admit, is they have so many little microclimates.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, right, sure. I mean, you can be in the rain and the cold on a semi-regular basis, or you can scoot up into the mountains and fry your butt off, right?
Totally. Well, the nice thing is that it's temperate here all year long, so we get We get different seasonal, like, veggies that you wouldn't normally get anywhere up and down in the breadbasket of California when you're more, like, inland. So being coastal, being temperate, we have a really unique food microclimate here, and I'm really very spoiled.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the reasons why we're bringing you on is because Taste of Humboldt, where we are actually organizing a Taste of Humboldt event, right? Mm-hmm. Next yep. year, right? And so we're yep. foaming the runway now. our good friends at Reading Buzz have a huge audience. You have a huge audience. So I think this is going to be great. But we're going to be doing a week long event, food event. So everybody's going to be happy. Everybody here is rubbing their belly.
We like food.
Can we just get this thing going now? Yeah, right? No. So we've penciled out August 8th through August 12th. Someone's sleeping. Someone's sleeping in the studio.
How dare you?
We've penciled
out his birthday.
I know.
We've penciled out August 8th through the 12th, and Monday through Saturday. And so we're going to be hitting all of Humboldt County, right? Garberville, Ferndale,
yep.
Willow Creek, did we say Trinidad?
No.
Trinidad, Eureka, and Arcata. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ooh. And we're
the
still
Pacific Ocean,
right? And we're in conversations regarding the whole Oyster Fest thing.
Yeah,
so
now we're talking.
So that should be pretty good. Yeah. Now you you've taken us on a tour to some of these restaurants, and I'm still full. the Sushi Blue is I'm still thinking about
I'm
that.
I'm so jealous.
Right now, so Jason, our Jason from Reading Buzz, he's actually from Humboldt, right?
I was born in Humboldt. Yeah, Humboldt baby, right here. Yeah. I'm not going to say the year, though.
1868.
Not from you, Garrett.
Did they have calendars back then?
No,
California
really.
Wasn't a state.
They had rocks in
it. It didn't have an ocean then. It was part of Pangea.
The Pangea moment.
So that was the first apocalypse.
Yeah. That was the first one, yeah.
Okay, so where are you from in Humboldt?
McKinleyville.
Yeah. McKinleyville, there you go.
Yeah.
So, and I see you going over there semi-regularly. And Jessica, it's because of Jason that I had to partake of the Lighthouse Grill.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that mashed potato cone.
Yeah. Did you try the potato cone? The gravy in it? I'm serious. I'm hungry.
Yep.
I'm sure it's much better than the cozy cone at Disneyland where they put the mac and cheese and gravy in the edible cone from, what is it? That
yeah, but it
cars, also, cars.
And it costs like $103.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
No, that's not.
McKinleyville is a great little town. We actually get one of our products for Enjoy the Store there, and that is Johnstein Tree Farm.
Oh.
Well, they have world-renowned... growing, what do you call it? They grow seedlings for restoration for forestry and all kinds of stuff.
Oh,
yeah, okay. And then they have all these really beautiful seed kits that we carry in the store.
Wow,
yeah.
So I know a lot of people like to go from Shasta and our surrounding area to Humboldt.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to carve out a week-long event, we can actually go to tasteofhumboldt.com now and sign up for the Taste of Humboldt newsletter that we're going to start sending out here pretty soon. I'm looking forward to this, Jessica.
Me too. I can't wait to just spend the whole week like eating everything in sight.
Make sure you find the perfect pair of stretch pants.
If that's not heaven, I don't want to go.
You know what I love over there is the oyster shooters. I love the oyster shooters, man. Right off the BBQ, man, a little Tabasco, a little twist of lime, a pinch of salt, and
now we're talking.
Yeah, oyster is definitely what we're known for here. We're such a prolific producing area. Like, I've never loved oysters more than living here. And it's a good thing, too, because I get to do judging at Oyster Fest usually, and I basically am just downing, like, 36 oysters.
So how do you sign up for that?
It's hard work. Honestly,
we may know some people.
I think it's just nepotism. People are like, she's a foodie girl, and, you know, I have friends in high oyster places, I guess.
High oyster brands in high oyster places.
The pearl.
The pearl.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
You know, well, it's kind of funny because, you know, the whole oyster thing is another one of those industries that I had no clue about.
But it's
once,
huge.
But once we started digging into Oyster Fest and everything that goes along with it, and then you look at it from a state level, and then you look at it from a national level, an international level, like the whole oyster business is crazy. It's a multi-layered, huge business. I had no clue.
Well, and it's the oyster production.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.